Everybody, this is the Georgia Songbird, and we are here with Miss Ellie Heath, a Canadian singer-songwriter, comedian too, right? You do sketch comedy and stuff like that.
Yeah, I would call myself, I guess, like a multidisciplinary artist. So I'm a playwright, sketch comedian, and singer-songwriter.
Nice. See,
All
now
around performer.
I was expecting to come in some kind of like sketch gear. Like we had a, I work at Mad Life. I do extra stuff like security on top of everything else I do for Mad Life, which is a music venue here in Georgia.
Oh, cool.
And we had a band come on there. They're like an 80s cover band, and they were dressed as Beetlejuice, and they were dressed as
Oh, sweet.
Johnny from Karate Kid.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, she's a sketch comp. Let's see what she does. Cause I know I got, I wanted to see, but let's get into all that stuff too, because that to me is so cool.
Thanks. Yeah. I guess it's part of what makes me an artist, so definitely worth talking about.
Now, do you got to explain how it works? Like sketch comedy, like let's start with there because you said you do that. And it's a girl brain sketch. Is that what's called girl brain sketch comedy?
Yeah, Girl Brain's my sketch comedy troupe. We started about 6 years ago. I had been doing sketch comedy for I'd say like about 10 years prior to that. But actually I find that there's a lot of crossover in terms, well, there's a lot of similarities in terms of sketch writing and songwriting because you're essentially taking an idea and you have about 2 or 3 minutes to get it across. It's just a different format. So with sketch writing, usually the idea is some sort of joke that you're trying to tell. And for me, like a lot of my work it revolves around like observations about just human behavior. And so, yeah, then you think, okay, well, I got 2 to 3 minutes. How am I going to tell this joke within a scene? And yeah, it's super fun. Very similar to theater in that, you're writing scenes between characters, but the comedy component is what makes it more fun.
Now, when you do that, like how long is your show for sketch comedy? I mean, because when do you like if you play out, you got like a 3-hour set or something, but how does that work on the sketch comedy side?
I don't know. I guess it changes from show to show because sometimes Girl Brain, another thing that I want to say is like I feel like there's a lot of similarities between a sketch troupe and a band. Like it often feels like the members of Girl Brain are in a band. And so sometimes we'll open for a show. And so we'll do like a 15-minute set. Sometimes we'll do a 30-minute set. But when we're producing our own shows, we typically do like 2 30 to 40-minute sets. I find with sketch comedy, if you keep people longer than 45 minutes, their attention just goes.
Okay.
So it's nice to break it up.
I could see that, but I'm always curious because I love stuff like this. This interests the hell out of me. It's like how do you keep it fresh that you're writing 40 minutes worth of material and it doesn't seem like he gets like there's a comedian Gabriel Iglesias, one of the funniest comedians I love. But everybody's heard his joke. So he was doing a show one time and they like aired it on air, HBO or whatever, and they're telling him his jokes before he even gets them out. How do you kind of change that? How do you manage that?
Well, I think for us, like when we first started out, we were doing monthly shows and we would write a new show every month. So, I mean, that was pretty intense. Like I still look back at that time and think, what were we thinking? But for that period of time, it was like none of our sketches were the same ever. So when people were coming to the show, they knew that they were getting a new show every time. Now, I mean, we sort of have our like arsenal of best of material. And so we've done best of shows where we'll go back and we'll use sketches from the past. But I find every time that you perform it, it's a bit different just based on the audience, based on, I guess, like the time that people are seeing it at. But at the same time, I think like with sketch comedy or with jokes, there is some value in seeing something for the second time and like having a favorite and being able to watch it again and appreciate it. So I don't know. There's like, I feel like there's strengths for both. But yeah, we had a friend come to our show in October and there were We had done mostly new material, but we had brought some sketches back from the past, and she was really excited to see those old sketches.
That's cool. That's kind of like Saturday Night Live. The people like to watch the older stuff because they like see some of the funnier.
Yeah, I mean it's interesting because it's kind of hard to pinpoint what's going to work until you do it in front of an audience. And then sometimes when you do it in front of an audience, it's like the sketch changes based on, like maybe one night a person will laugh at a bit that you didn't expect, and then all of a sudden it'll give you a different idea, like, okay, well maybe we could make that part of the sketch a little bit more of the center of the sketch, and like cut some of the parts towards the end, so yeah, it's interesting. And I feel like with sketches and with songs, they're always they're you kind of have the feeling that they're never done. Like there are different it's like you get it to a certain place, and then you perform it for people, and then like you see how the audience reacts to it, and then maybe that'll give you an idea to change it moving forward. So that's something that I really like about sketch comedy, is that it sort of feels like the sketches are always being polished and edited to become better.
Yeah, the more you talk about it, the more I do see the similarity between songwriting and sketch comedy. Because when you write a song, that's how you take it out into the world. Like, let's see if they like my baby. The worst thing they could say is you got an ugly baby. It's a crap.
Totally. Or it's like your baby could be better if like you gave it a little bit more hair, or
Right?
I
Is
don't know.
it a boy? Is
Made
it a
the teeth
girl?
straighter.
So, how did you go? Now you do songwriting too. Like I said, this is songwriting, but I told you we get sidetracked and talking about everything because people will want to know about Ellie, and Ellie does a lot of different things. So, how does your, because you started playing piano, if I read right, since 6 years old. So, you can play piano, and that's how you write. Is that how you write your music, other instruments? How does that work?
So I played piano growing up. Took like I'd say about 8 years of piano lessons, and then I didn't touch the piano for a really long time. And then I sort of dabbled in piano through the years. There was actually like I had a theater audition for the play Once, the musical, and I was like I wanted to be in it so bad that I relearned how to play the piano after many years. And yeah, from there started playing the piano again. My dad's a singer songwriter, so it's something that's been in my life since I was born. And yeah, I just started playing piano again. And then through the pandemic, actually, my dad has a monthly song circle. And so, during the pandemic, he was trying to figure out, like, how do I do this? Because I can't do it in person. So we started doing it online. And I helped my dad with that because he didn't have a lot of experience with Zoom and all of that. So essentially, through the whole pandemic, we did the monthly song circle, and sort of halfway through the pandemic, I'm thinking like, why am I not writing songs? I've got a piano, I sing, and like with Girl Brain, we do a lot of song parody, and I do a lot of song parody. I'm also involved in this show in Edmonton called Weird Al Karaoke,
Okay.
where essentially it's just like rewriting pop songs as funny song parodies. So it's like I kind of it became this sort of no-brainer because I'm like, well, I've got a piano in my apartment. I've got all the time in the world. I love to sing. Like I've been singing since I was, like a toddler, and performing and singing for a long time. So I just started songwriting. And it was great because I had the song circle that I could bring my songs to every month, Girl Brain stuff, and like producing my own work and marketing and all of that. I kind of had all those pieces already together. So it just felt like a natural direction to start doing my own music.
See, I had a it's funny you mentioned the Weird Al karaoke thing. There was a another maybe that he's just big, is it bigger in Canada? There's another Canadian duo that came on my show. They're called Sugar and Spice. And they have a Weird Al parody YouTube channel called Weird Gals Yanking It, and they dress up and one she got he, one of them plays an accordion, and then they drink and have a good time. So is
Oh,
Weird
that's
Al
awesome.
just that big in Canada?
I don't know. I guess so. With
I love Weird
in
Al.
my circle, it is.
You mentioned something in there that would probably help other songwriters or anybody listening that does anything artistic or anything in general for themselves. You mentioned marketing. So how do you go about marketing yourself in a way that doesn't detract? Because I mean, you mentioned that you do the sketch comedy and you kind of put the music too and you do all of it together. How do you differentiate doing it? Do you put it together? What are some techniques or something that may help other people listening?
I'm still trying to figure it out. Because I do have so much going on, and often I do wonder, like, is this overwhelming for somebody who's following me? But then I think to myself, well, this is ultimately, I'm marketing who I am. I'm marketing myself as an artist, and all of these different things that I do are part of that. So in terms of like authenticity, which I think is a super important thing in marketing, like when you're marketing yourself, you do want to share, who you are as a person and what specifically sets you apart. So I think it's important to, to be authentic and to be yourself. Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out in terms of music marketing, because I feel like it's such a different beast than the rest of the stuff that I do. And also too, marketing's changing all of the time. But the thing that I think is the most important is consistency and knowing to promote. So yeah, I don't know if that answers the question. And then also too, like making sure that you have elements that you need to be able to tell your story of who you are consistently and in like a polished and professional way that's going to grab people's attention.
Yeah. See, a lot of songwriters have, and probably people in the art style and in general, they have a habit of being kind of introverted and afraid to push their brand. And a lot of them don't know what their brand is. I mean, they're trying to figure it out and they're all over the place. And that's why I always ask that question. I would like to get info because what works for certain people, I know it's different, but you can take little nuggets from everybody. It's like, oh, okay, maybe I'll try this, be authentic. Find out who, like I told you, I do Southern rock and country because it comes out of me. I can't do anything else. If I was trying to do hardcore rap, it would fall flat. I promise. I couldn't do it.
You could do a Weird Al hardcore
No, more like Larry the Cable Guy. That would have to be more of my.
rap. Yeah, I mean, like, I guess I just try to think of, because I do social media marketing as my sort of, it's my side job that I do. And so I help arts organizations and local businesses to tell their story. And so I'm always thinking about, what do people want? Like, how do people act? What do people like when a person goes on social media, what's going to grab their attention? And so oftentimes, like, I feel like good storytelling is the thing that keeps people engaged. So it's like, how do you tell your own story in a way that gets people interested? And I think like with music, sometimes I think that people think, okay, well, I'm a musician, so I need to be posting my music all the time. But it's not necessarily that. Like, sometimes it's just like sharing about what you're working on or sharing about some of the stumbling blocks that you're going through. It's like connecting with people in a way that's, I feel like, personal and engaging.
Yeah, I know. Are you on TikTok or anything like that?
Yeah, I'm on TikTok.
Okay. See, to me, TikTok is, and you said your dad was a songwriter and he kind of gets you to help you. It sounds like we met my son. I sent my son, he's 26, to school for, he loves computers. So he went to IT. So I call him all the time, like, son, what do I need to do for this? He says, Daddy, I have no idea. I didn't work on that kind of a system. I'm not in that part. I do security stuff or I do this. It has nothing to do with what you do. I was like, but it's computers. In my mind, computers is everything. You know computers, you know everything about it. That's kind of what it sounds like in my world.
Well, I mean, at the same time, it's like, I don't know. I feel like I know certain things. I don't know everything. And I feel like the younger generation, they certainly know more about TikTok than I do. Like, TikTok to me is still a mystery. I mean, and also too, the thing that I would say is it's you just never know where you're going to reach people and what's going to reach people, right? Like, so I'm a singer-songwriter, I'm a sketch comedian, I have all these things that I want to promote, but at the end of the day, like, I posted this video 3 weeks ago about farting in my parka and it just got like trapped in my parka and that got 500,000 views, you know? And so it's like, I'd love to get 500,000 views on a music video of mine. And certainly posting that video and getting 500,000 views, it's like I think I gained 500 followers from that video. And so now I have that many more followers that might see my music videos, but it's just like, you just never know what's gonna reach who,
Yeah.
especially on TikTok, man.
And that's kind of where I was thinking, like on the it's kind of a necessary evil, but you're right, because you never know. I mean, I have a daughter, she's 14 years old, and I gave her some advice about men. I said men never grow up. They're 12 years old is their limit. They still think farts are funny. I mean, you talk about farting in your
Yeah.
parka. How many people would they watch that because it's hilarious,
I
you
know.
know?
Yeah, well, and I mean me too. It's like that kind of stuff makes me laugh too. So,
It's
yeah.
natural. It's natural to laugh at funny stuff, and I think that's the issue. I don't know the issue, but that's kind of the formula for like when you go on these TikTok, because people say, "Oh, their attention spans are shorter. They're watching 2 or 3 seconds." You just gotta. There's so much wrong going on in the world. You just gotta make people laugh, you know. And yeah, you want to play your music and play. That's great. That's part of it. But we all know that when you go listen to music, mostly what you remember is the hook, the chorus, right? And now, do you ever find that I listen to some of your songs that Danny sent to me, and we'll listen to a few more here in a minute. But do you ever find that your sketch comedy kind of comes into the songwriting, and you want to end up writing funny stuff?
I think actually for me, songwriting was a nice departure because I have been writing funny stuff for so long. And while I love the fact that people see me as a funny person, because certainly I think it's like so important to have a good sense of humor, I think there was a part of me that was really wanting to express myself in a different way. And so when I originally started writing songs, it was definitely me wanting to depart from that. Also, too, I started songwriting during the middle of the pandemic. And I have to say, like, the pandemic as a block of time, it was really hard to find things that were funny during that time because, like, things were changing so quickly, people's realities were changing. So it was like something would be funny 1 week, and then, like, 2 weeks later, it wouldn't be funny anymore because some new information would come out, or we would be in a lockdown again, or whatever, So. But at the same time, sometimes I do think like this is a missed opportunity. Like for Girl Brain, actually, our last show, because we usually do song parodies, but I had an idea for a song. And so we did our first original Girl Brain song. And it was actually the best song. Well, it was one of the better songs in the show, I thought. And so that was really exciting. But I guess I'm a bit cautious of the fact that if I start doing funny songs, that might take over and then it might drown out the other songs that I do. But then at the same time, I feel that way about my funny videos anyways. So I don't know.
Yep, I get it. It's you're trying to find the brand, you know. You want to separate that. You don't want to kind of bleed it into each other, because then where does one start and one end?
Yeah.
Well,
Yeah.
let's listen to one of your songs. We're going to hear three of them total, but we'll do them like I'll split them up. So what I want to do is, well, I was, where'd it go? Can you see that? That's you. I'm right. Yep,
Yep.
because there's Highwire. So what's the first song you want to share with everybody?
Let it all
Anyone?
in.
Let it all in. See, now that you said that, all I can think of is the fart in the park. No, you got to let it out.
Let it all out.
So, like I said, I'm a songwriter. I love stories. So, what's the story of Let It All In?
So I was actually, this one came to me really organically, and it was at about 9 p.m. at night. I was actually thinking about Girl Brain. And when we go on vacation, well, there's this one time we went on vacation. We were in Florida and we had a pool at our hotel, and it was like the best thing ever. And we would go to the pool every day. And one of us, Allison, she would just, every time we go to the pool, she'd jump right in and she'd spend most of the time in the pool, and she looked so happy and joyous. And I didn't often go in the pool. I would sit by the pool. I didn't want to get my hair wet. I didn't want to get my makeup wet. Like, I was just holding myself back from a lot of fun and joy. And I was thinking about that one night. I was thinking about that kind of attitude, and holding yourself back from just like going and getting wet and getting messy. Like, why? What's that about? And so that became the idea of this song. It's like, what if you just let it all in? What if you jump into the water and don't worry about the fact that your hair is going to be wet? Don't worry about, just don't worry. Just let it all in.
I like that. That is a good lesson for everyone too. So
Yeah.
it's funny how songwriters' brains work. People, when you're out and about and you hear stuff and you see stuff, it's just like, oh, it makes you in artistic anyway. And you like write it down and start making a song.
Absolutely.
So
Yeah.
what I'm gonna do, Ellie, is I'm gonna mute us and play Let It All In. Just give me a thumbs up when you hear it.
Lesson before I got old.
That is so, there's so many things to like about that song. I'm gonna start with the visual that it gave me. Just sitting there listening, I'm a very visual person at times. I like to, when I hear stuff, it makes me think of things. So I'm thinking of a video for the song as I'm listening. And I don't know why this popped in my head, but and the more I thought about it, it went with the music. Is I see like it's like a carousel, like a wind up, like the little kids ballerinas or whatever. I don't call that. What I never had one, but it's spinning around and around. What do they call those?
Oh gosh, I don't know.
Okay,
But I know what you're talking about.
somebody
I
knows
think
what it is. They'll tell me. So I like it starts off like a little carousel wind up thing with a music box, right? And it's spinning. And then it goes to like a an older lady sitting there looking out the window, and what she sees is these kids running through sprinklers, right? Because it brings out a very childhood emotion listening to this. I think it's the waltz feel, the 3/4. I don't know. It feels like a lullaby almost. And so she's watching these kids run through the sprinklers, and then because I'm a songwriter, a lot of times my images go dark, then it fades, and it's all just like a empty playground because their kids are grown. That's the video image I got if I was doing that song. I was like, oh, because I had to make it go sad, but I do like the I love that stuff.
I like that. I actually got a grant to record a music video for that song. And so we recorded it in June, at a swimming pool in Edmonton. So I'll send you the link for the music video, but I love your idea too. That's so great. And it's like, I don't know, that's what I really love about art is that you just never know how it's gonna touch people and what people are gonna how it's gonna inspire other people,
That's the fun part. My son gave me a challenge one time. He said, "Daddy, I want you to write a song about one thing, but it means another." And said, "All right, so challenge accepted. I'll do it. I like challenges. I'll try it." And so I wrote a song called "I See You." And we know as songwriters, it's kind of more metaphors. It's not really literal. You kind of trying to paint a picture. So I wrote a song where the words were literal, but it made it sound like it was sweet. So the song, I remember I played it out one time, and this woman goes, "That is such a great song. Is that about your wife?" And I'm like, "God, I hope not. She hopes not." Because the song, it's dark. It's like really, really dark. The words are literal. The guy has her chained up in his room in the basement,
Oh gosh.
right? And it's the words are like, "I love you all kinds of crazy." That's how it starts, right? And then it's like you chained to my heart, and it's the word, it sounds sweet listening to it because it does, it sounds like you just, it's a love you don't want to let go, and it's true. But my vision for it was because I had a challenge, I had to write it separate, was it's literal. He's got her chained to the walls. He can't let her go because he loves her. He's crazy, you know. It's really dark.
Totally. It's like, well, actually consider this if it were literal, it wouldn't be so sweet.
Yep. Well, we know as songwriters, it's kind of our job to do that. I'm gonna pull up real quick and just give you some of the words, right? And I wanted to do it out when I did a like a track for it. I recorded it. There's secret one part like toward the end, you can hear chains rattling, and I did that just to so it was like she's struggling as the song is playing through. That was kind of
Oh,
the thing.
cool.
So as you can tell, I love song stories, and I know some people are like, "Well, I wanted you to get your own interpretation." That's fine. I get my own interpretation. I get doing that, but sometimes there's funny stories that come out of these songs. Like you said, you were sitting at a pool, you know, and like didn't want to get your hair wet, and you didn't want to get your makeup wet. Can you see the sheet? Yeah, it says, and I know everybody else can't, so I'll read it for everybody. But I love you all kinds of crazy. No one knows you like I do. He's stalking her. He's been stalking her. That's the line. I know sometimes you want me to leave you alone, but I wouldn't if I could. And then it's like, "I was there when you tried to leave, cut the ties of our love and be free." She's trying to escape. So I held you tight till you fell into me. He held her till she passed out. So it's a dark song, but it sounds sweet when it's being played.
Yeah, totally. Oh my God.
So
So, how'd your son like the song?
he loved it. He said, "That's good, Daddy." He said, "Now let me give you a bard." I'm like, "What the hell's a bard, son? I don't know what a bard is."
What's a bard?
It's supposed to be like, I still don't really understand what it is, but it's supposed to be like, you th think of like the Renaissance age, like the
Yeah.
guys going around singing. It's a bard. That's kind of what it's supposed to be, something like
Okay.
that. So I still don't know. He's into that stuff. I have to look it up and Google it.
Yeah. Like, how does a bard apply to a song? That.
I think it's the way I was playing, because I don't know about you, but I'll sit down, I'll just play a rhythm sometimes, and just to get an idea for a song, I let the word or the music speak to me, and then I'll write a song out of it sometimes.
Oh,
And so
nice.
I think I was playing it in like a bard style and didn't know it, because
Yeah.
I'm not trained. I did this all by ear. I never really got lessons and stuff like that, so I don't know theory. I can't read music. I'll play by ear. So I'm sitting there and I'm playing it, and I just think it came out as a bard style. Like Lord of the Rings or something. That's what I think of when it says bard. You have a really, really good voice.
Thank you. Thank you very much for saying that.
Now,
Yeah, I find.
go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say, I find it really hard to. I guess people ask me who I sound like all the time, and I don't know who to say that I sound like because I feel like I just sound like me.
Right. Yeah, I didn't get any. There wasn't any person. Like I said, sometimes when I hear music, I'll hear like, "Oh, you remind me of this song." That one
Yeah.
didn't. It's kind of your own style. It gave me an image, but it didn't give me like a person.
Yeah.
Now, what do you have going on in the future? Are you touring with the girl brain? Or are you doing your music? What's going on?
I just got back. At the end of January, I recorded an EP of six new tracks with a friend of mine in Toronto. So I'm working towards the release of that. So I'm planning on releasing the first single from that, I think, in mid-May. And then I'm going to release the EP and the second single in June. And so this next week, I'm getting together with my music video director. So we're gonna record another music video. And I wanna plan like a release concert in June. So that's what I'm focused on right now.
Now, if you want to come back on for like an album review, EP review, what we do
Yeah.
is I don't ever critique it. I'm never going to critique somebody's music. It's my opinion. It doesn't matter. So what we do is kind of what we're doing here is we'll hear your song and then the stories behind it. And that's all that I do.
Awesome. Awesome.
So
Yeah, that's fun.
where do you record at? You said a friend. Do you want to give him a shout out?
Yeah, Jesse Northey, he owns a record label in Toronto, Victory Pool Records, and he's also an amazing musical artist. And yeah, him and Steve Foster, they're both multi-instrumentalists, and so I went to Toronto for a little over a week, and we just recorded every day in Jesse's studio there. And I'm really, really excited. Actually, I get the mixes for all the songs later today, so I'm really
Nice.
stoked to be able to listen to them before sending them to get mastered. So
You keep saying Jesse, and I want to answer yes. Oh, no, not me. The other Jesse.
I guess, yeah, same name.
That's, hey, good name. If his name, his middle name is James, like mine, it's even better.
Oh, nice. Nice. I don't know. I don't know what his middle name is. I'll have to ask.
Now, I have a game that I always play through here throughout the show. And I used to do it at the end, but I kind of want to mix them into the middle. It's
Okay.
I call it the Wheel of Death. It's a 20 question kind of game. It always leads to fun conversations. And so it's
Yeah.
just random questions that pop up.
Okay.
So we're going to get into one right now.
Okay. I'm ready.
This is a good one. What song makes you cry?
And this is not one of my, it can just be
It could
any
be
song.
anyone. Yeah. I mean, there's only probably one of my songs that makes me cry that it's hard for me to do. But yeah, Conway Twitty for me, that's my job, gets me every time.
There's an artist in Canada, Kathleen Edwards, and she has this song called Scared at Night. And that song Yeah, that's probably one of my favorite songs, and it always makes me cry. And I think it's about losing that person that makes you feel safest in the world.
Is she a bigger actor or a local singer from there?
She's a bigger act in,
Okay.
yeah, in Canada. She's a singer-songwriter. She's based out of Ontario, and yeah, she's amazing. A lot of her songs make me cry, but that one the most.
I wrote it down. I like to listen and get other music too.
Nice.
So what I found was very interesting when I did this. You talked about COVID earlier, 2020. That's when I first started the podcast in 2019. It was for local North Georgia. I figured nobody wants to talk to me. We'll see it, do a couple episodes, whatever. And
Yeah.
so I started in 2019, and then 2020 hit. So I had to figure out a way to get people on a show that wanted to come, because I get it not coming live. When my mother was alive, we all have a family owned property. We're like 9 acres, it's all family owned. I kept an eye on her. She you couldn't come, nobody could come around over COVID. She was really sick. So I get that. I didn't want him here. My guest that was supposed to come on, he had COVID. I was like, nope, stay away. I'm good. But I was like, okay, I need to figure out Zoom. And that's why when you mentioned your dad earlier being a songwriter and him trying to figure out how to do it during it, it just reminded me of that. It's like, yeah, I had that same problem. Like, how do you do Zoom? And that's such a, I think an older Gen X kind of guy. It's like questions like, how do you do this? But it led me into meeting other people. And Canada comes on all the time. I get a lot of Canadians that come for the countdown or comes on the show as a guest or does that. So I mean, I know I'm in Georgia and I kind of know the scene around Georgia and of course Nashville. It just surprises me how many musicians and how many great artists are up in Canada.
Yeah, there really are. And also too, like the thing that was really cool for us with the song circle was that we ended up having a lot of people from the States join the song circle, just from like people that my dad had met in Nashville or LA. And so we had, I would say, like a quarter of the people that would come every month would be from the States. But yeah, like Edmonton, which is where I am based out of, Edmonton, Alberta. We have an amazing art scene, and we have a really vast music scene, but also theater, comedy, visual arts. And I think that the reason that people might tend to be more creative in Canada is because it's so cold for half the year. And so you need to find ways to entertain yourself and keep yourself sane. And so creativity is one of those things, and you know, like going out to shows. And so it's, yeah, I love that about where I live. Like there's just so much going on all of the time in terms of music and arts.
Okay. See, now you've been to the state. I've never been to Canada. I got to get my passport before I can come to Canada. They won't let me in. So what is there, what's the similarities in the States and in Canada? Because I'm curious, is it like here in Georgia, a lot of it's wood, it's spread it out, but you get in Atlanta and you get in the cities and then it's all just traffic and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Canada is fairly similar to the States, in terms of like, I don't know, our values, how we live our lives. I would say the main difference is that it's colder here. It's colder here. And things are a little bit spread out. Like we're not, our population is not as concentrated. So even living in Edmonton, like I live in a bigger city in Canada. But I wouldn't say that it's, you know, there's as much traffic or as many people as there are in the States. I'm always just like blown away by how much sprawl there is in the States. Like even when you get outside of a city, there's still so much.
Yeah, you have to drive through anytime you're in North Georgia. I have to show you. It probably reminds you of Canada here because it's a lot of, we're on top of the mountains. We're mountainside, hillside. So
Nice.
that's where I'm at. That's probably one of the reasons my internet sucks. We were talking earlier, guys, how bad our internet is.
Yeah.
Let's hear another song. Which one you want to do next?
Sure. I was thinking we could listen to New Skin.
Okay. And what is the story behind Nu Skin?
New Skin is, so I in 2021, early 2021, I quit drinking, and actually I started writing music I would say as like a way to, I don't know, a way to cope with not having alcohol as a coping mechanism in my life. So music sort of filled in a lot of that gap for me, and not drinking anymore was like a wild experience for me, and I just felt like a completely different person, a new person. And also too, I was having a lot of conversations with friends during COVID that were really like resetting their value system and sort of like, okay, we've got this pause, how thinking about different ways to go about life. And yeah, so this is in response to that, you know, just feeling like a new person.
See, and I know COVID was horrible, killed a lot of people, but there was some good that came out of it. I mean, I remember when it shut down here, families had to start eating together again. You had to cook your meals, you stayed at home. You know, it's like when I was a kid, that's what we did when I was a kid. And so the kids were like that, but we became closer as a family. And that was a cool thing. And yeah, songwriting helped with a lot of songwriters. You got so much more done. And like you said, you learned to grow and you changed. That article that I read or I heard about, like within Italy, where they have the gondolas and all that stuff, where the water became clear because everybody was gone. You couldn't traffic the pollution. I always look at that. I always look at the bright side of that stuff, and that's good. All right, so I'm gonna mute us. Just as always, give me a thumbs up when you hear. That song, first of all, again, my visual, I'm gonna give you the visual that it gave me. I'm sitting there listening to it, and I was trying to think, who do you sound like? It reminded me a little, and just by your tone, from Florence and the Machines, just a little bit.
Oh,
That's
Well,
my
thank you.
image. But the again, the vision, your song gives me visual images in my head, and I'm sitting there thinking, like, first off, that could be an anthem song. There's so many people who have body images issues that they worry about it. But I'm sitting there thinking, like, this could have, like, if I was doing a video, the lady, it would start off like a kid dancing, like ballerina or what, like some kind of dance. I don't know what they call it. The fancy word, the dancing, and then it ages each to like a teenager, to an adult, to a grandmother, to an older elderly later and lady, and it's just that's the song, and it's just the whole song is they're dancing and she's progressing in age throughout the whole song.
Oh, I like that. That's really beautiful.
Because I
Yeah.
said it's about to me, it's like an anthem for a body image, and I was like, that would be a really good singable song if you got it, I think, into the right hands.
Nice. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, for me, yeah, a lot of the basis of the song is just stepping away from denial and like owning who you are as a person and showing up as who you are and just being like, this is me. Yeah.
That comes with age and experience for people, and I know I see it. It's so crazy. Like my daughter, I have twins that are 14, boy and girl twins, and my daughter is a wrestler. She loves wrestling. That's what she wants to do. She wants to be a WWE wrestler. So I put her in wrestling in high school. She absolutely loves it. But
Nice.
she has this, like, I don't know if it's just girls, but she has this image of herself. Like, well, I need to do this and do that. I gotta worry about my weight, my body. My It's like, look. I said, I'll help you get stronger physically. You've got to get stronger mentally because only you can fix yourself in that regard. I said, it doesn't matter what people think of you. It matters what you think of yourself.
Yeah, that's a hard one to feel like that's a hard one to really fully embrace. Because there's so many people's opinions that are always flowing around out there and with yeah, I think about young people a lot in terms of just how our society works and social media and stuff. And I feel like it would be a difficult time to grow up, and feel like empowered to be uniquely you because there's so much ha that you're comparing yourself to all the time. But yeah, I get being that age, I feel like I've struggled with disordered eating for much of my life, and it started around that age. Yeah, so it's important to sing these songs, I think, to sing these songs as a reaction to that, so that people can feel empowered that others have found their way out of that.
And that's what I told her. She's strong. Like my wife says, I'm very chauvinistic, and I am. I'm chauvinistic, but I also see that I do it. Just I make jokes. I have a good time. I laugh. I don't take it seriously. My daughter, I told her, I want you to make the man cry. So when you're in a relationship, you make him cry. He doesn't make you cry. You be tougher. You be meaner. And that's what I always would tell her when she goes to wrestles. It'd be faster and meaner. That's all you got to be. But I get it. I mean, I see it. It's funny because she tries to act like me. And if anybody tells you God doesn't have a sense of humor, I'm going to tell you he does. Because I have two boys, one's 26, and then Gibson, who's 14, and Cheyenne is twin. She's 14. The girl acts like I did when I was a teenage boy. And I'm like, oh my God, I gotta change. So I'm telling you, I guess. But you mentioned something, and I meant to say it earlier, is with TikTok, and I look at it as like there's so many people when you send it, they're gonna say negative comments. They just do it because for them it's fun. You know, it's you can't take it seriously. I look at it as if I'm getting negative comments, then I've made it.
Yeah,
That's how I look at it.
I guess like either way, you're prompting a reaction. I think, like, honestly, for me, TikTok has really helped me. I don't know, it's helped me to be able to distance myself from feeling any personal hurt if somebody, has a negative comment on something, because I don't know, the comments are just so wild on TikTok, and the things that people get invested in and care about, like, It really drives home that point of you have no idea what's going on in other people's minds. And I remember a friend of mine said to me once, what other people think of you is none of your business. And that was like one of the most important pieces of advice I think I've ever gotten, because you really have no idea what's going on in other people's heads. And even if they do share a negative comment with you, that has nothing to do with you. Oftentimes it's more what it's it has more to do with them. So yeah, I mean, I've definitely come to a place where negative comments don't really get to me because it's just part of it, right? Like if you're gonna put yourself out there in any way, you're gonna open yourself up to that. And I feel like people that don't put themselves out there are always gonna have something to say about the people that do.
Because they're not brave enough to do what you do, what they're doing. You know, you're showing your heart, you're showing your talent to the world. And will everybody like it? No, of course not. You can't please everybody. You get a room of 10 people, you're not going to please 10 of them. They just, some of them love to be nasty and love to be mean. And it's like, well, okay, enjoy your life, you know, whatever. Turn the station, go away. I don't care.
Yeah, totally. Like I find with people like that, it's just like, just don't pay attention.
Right.
They'll go do it to somebody else.
Yep. The
They want
more,
attention as much as the rest of us.
if you respond or to it, then you give them what they want. Like
Yeah,
my
totally.
wife has a habit. If she wants everybody to like her, I'm like, why? She says, because it, you know, I don't care if people like me. That's the difference. You can like me, hate me. I really don't care. But she does. She wants to be nice and wants to everybody to like her. And she gets her feelings hurt. She has like her wear it on her sleeve, heart on her sleeve. And I'm like, again, it goes back. I said, you got to love yourself. You're not going to please them. Some people are miserable. You don't know what they're going through. Maybe, like you said, maybe they're having a bad day and they just want shit on your parade. So let them.
Totally. Yeah, it's just like releasing the idea that it's about you, 'cause it never is.
And they hate you. I had a woman one time cry when I was singing, and I'm like, that was a weird reaction for me because I'm sitting, she ended up giving me like a $100 tip that night. And it was like she said, "Oh man, you're singing touched me." I said, "Are you sure? Are you listening to me?" She said, "Your songs and the way." I mean, I just felt the passion. And then her husband comes up mad. Don't talk to my wife. I'm a man. I'm like, dude, I'm married. You ain't got nothing to worry about. If you're that worried about your wife, then you need to take her home. But
Yeah, no kidding. That's weird.
I still got $100 out of it, so.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it just goes to show two very different reactions. And
Right.
it's like, which one are you going to focus on? Focus on the $100,
That's
right?
right. Yep. It went to bills. I didn't use it for anything important, but I had to pay bills with it. All right, Wheel of Death. Ready for another Wheel of Death question?
Yeah, sure.
Have you ever had a paranormal experience?
Paranormal experience. That's like with a ghost. Yeah, I actually did. My apartment building, I lived in Vancouver, in BC, in Canada for 4 years, and I lived in this old building that was like over 100 years old. And every night at the same time, there was clanging. I had these old pipes, and there'd be clanging in the pipes every night at this one time. And there was this one, I was just convinced that there was a ghost in my apartment. And yeah, anyways, the clanging started at different times during the day. And there was one point where I said, because I named her Eunice, I said, Eunice, leave me alone. I don't know what you're doing in my apartment, but you need to leave. And I swear to you, the clanging stopped after that.
See, if you're ever down in Georgia and you guys want to come onto the show live, we do it here. I've got either a studio that I'm building or a gazebo outside. Well, like I told you, it's family-owned land. We have a family-owned cemetery right back there by the gazebo. And I usually don't tell guests that, so I wait till they get here. And then they show up. It's like, what is that? That's my family cemetery. Really? Okay.
Well, you keep everybody together that
Right.
way.
Yep. Well, you can't do it in Cherokee County anymore. That's where we're at. But what are they
Okay.
going to do? It's kind of our way to get back at the county because now, when everybody's gone and dead, they got to pay to move it.
Don't. That would be a
Uh-huh.
lot. That would be a lot of work to move it.
My papa said, bury me upside down on my ass in the ear so they have to kiss it. Now, we're going to listen to one more of your songs, but I have a question for you. I asked the guest, do you like listening to yourself sing? Do you like you listening to hear your own music?
That's a interesting question. I was thinking about that during the last song. It really depends on the day, honestly. I wouldn't say that I listen to my music a lot. The new tracks that I've recorded, I really am enjoying listening to because they really reflect the direction that I want to go in. I do though. I do enjoy listening to my songs because I don't know, it's just I was talking to a friend about this over the last week. Like when you write a new song, it sort of gives you that feeling like when you get a new outfit that you feel really good in and you just want to go out into the world and show everybody your new outfit and this new, I don't know, like with a new song. It's just like you've created this new thing that now exists in the world, and it wouldn't have existed if you didn't create it. And so whenever I hear my songs, I feel like, wow, that's really cool. I created a thing, and now they live in the
See, the outfit thing is, I think, is a girl thing because I don't ever have outfits. I have a pair of jeans that my wife wants me to throw away. Like, no, since you've had them for years. I'm like, so what? They have holes in them, Jesse. Well, it's popular. That's what people do now. She said, yeah, but they buy them. I'm like, I'm not paying for somebody to put holes in my jeans. I can do them on.
I feel like it would be akin to if you got like a new piece of music gear.
Okay, that I can relate to.
I don't know. I was trying to think of a friend of mine really loves like every time he gets a new, oh, what is it? A new thing to plug his guitar into. Not a synth.
Like a
Yeah, maybe a
pedal.
synth. A new pedal. Yeah. Every time he gets a new pedal.
Guys are really pretty easy. We don't change much. Like going into
Oh,
Home Depots and the hardware stores. Like, ooh, I want to play with that hammer gun. I need that nail
yeah.
gun. Use it like one or two times, and then that's it. Well,
Yeah.
let's hear one more song, Ellie. Which one you want to do for your last song?
High wire.
High wire. Okay. And I've heard this one, but tell me the story behind it.
High Wire is the first song that I released, so it's my first single. This one came to 21, and it was Christmas party season, and I was gonna have to go to a bunch of Christmas parties sober, and I hadn't done a lot of sober socializing, and so I was feeling really flippin' scared, and yeah, just like the journey of recovery, it was very much like one foot in front of the other, one day at a time. And this song is sort of in response to that, facing things in your life that you're scared of. Feel the fear and do it anyway.
Step at a time as I move across.
I've heard that one. That was a good song too. There was a melody you were singing, and it reminded me of somebody. It still drives me crazy. I'm like, I heard that. Da, 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 da. And I'm, but it's, I can't, it won't come to my head.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who that's from, but yeah, it's a familiar melody.
It's still good. I liked it. And like I said, what happens, like when you go on a countdown, that's what you referred to earlier. Is when this episode comes out, because like I said, it's always pre-recorded. I will put another song of yours in the weekly top 10. And the way it works is it's pretty simple, is you just get people to vote. If you get enough votes, it lasts through 12 weeks. And then I will officially retire the song. And since if you haven't been retired before, which you haven't, then it will go to my indie radio station, a lady that runs it named Muriel in Paris, and you get a little feature in the Paris station. So it's played over in Paris.
Oh,
She, I, one of our artists came on, and so we started working. I was like, "Yeah, that'd be cool." I mean, that's what it's for, is to get your music heard.
yeah.
I love, like I said, I write, I have a band, I get it. I've been doing this for a while, and this is my way to help. I still push my stuff out all the time. My wife says, "Why are you talking about your music?" I said, "Because I got to push my music out too."
Yeah, true. Marketing.
That's right. We mentioned it earlier. It's a grind. You have to, somebody tells you no, right? That's what they always told you, is till you hear a no, you keep asking. You keep
Yeah,
pushing.
that's like my dad always says that you can't fail if you don't, or you can't fail if you don't quit.
That's some good advice right there, because he's 100% right. What is that, what is that saying that old, that a coach used to say, that the football coach, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Oh yeah, that was Wayne Gretzky,
Gretzky, yes. See?
who was an Edmonton Oiler.
Okay. See, I don't follow much. Can't I don't follow, Georgia don't have a lot of hockey because it's not cold enough here.
Well, I just think that that's hilarious that you unknowingly quoted an
Yeah,
Edmontonian.
maybe it's true. Maybe I really knew what I was doing. We're going to say
Yeah,
that. Ellie, I want to thank you for coming on the show.
thanks so much for having me. It was lovely to chat with you and get to know more about you and what you're doing and to share more about what I do.
We're not quite done, before we get into some more of the will of death questions, tell everybody where they can find you, all your social media, all that stuff.
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram. Just look up Ellie Heath. I'm on TikTok, same thing. You can find me on YouTube, Facebook, and I'm also, I think, like in the next week, launching www. Well, you can still find me there, www.ellieheath.com. So you can find me all of those places, or on Spotify or Apple Music. Yeah.
And your EP will be coming out soon. I said, come back, really, and we'll do kind of like what we're doing here, but it'd be more your music related. It'll be
Yeah.
just tell me the story, listen to songs, and that's it.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm planning on releasing the EP in June, so.
Nice. And do you have a name for the EP?
Not well,
Doug.
I'm thinking that I might title it Shine, but I haven't. That's a
Okay.
tentative
Now,
title.
do you name yours after your see, for me, when I name an album, I always want a song to be on there that's named that. Do you do that?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's not just my crazy OCD shit that's like, okay, Jesse, it's gotta be, it's called, I had an album called One Shot. Well, I gotta have a song called One Shot. So we had a song that the band helped, because I do most of the writing, but I give them the bug. So when we come here and practice, so we had a Patrick, who's my drummer, he had a friend who was a sniper in the military, and his best friend got shot in front of him, and so he became very suicidal. And so we wrote a song to help with the PTSD for the soldiers. And I'll let you hear all this stuff at the end. I'll let you hear my stuff. But the guy, we went and took it to the VA, the local VA here, and we had, or not the VA, it was the VFW, and we had soldiers. We would have them sit in front of their flag, their army, navy, whatever, and tell stories. And that's kind of what it was geared for, was a PTSD suicide awareness for the military, for the soldiers. And the guy ended up, the day that we recorded the videos, he actually ended up killing himself, and so he never got to hear it.
Oh, that's sad. I'm sorry to hear that.
So
But
I'm gonna go into more detail, but that's kind of
yeah.
the general idea was, I want to have the title of the song. So we named it One Shot.
Nice.
So,
Nice.
not to take it dark or anything, but
No,
I
that's
seem to
okay.
do that a lot.
Well, but I feel like that's part of life, for race, of trying to reconcile these things that happen that don't feel fair, or that, just don't make sense. So oftentimes, like, I feel like it is the artists of the world that are able to allow us to look at those dark things that happen.
And I said, we'll talk more about that when you come back on with it, with your EP.
Yeah.
So now, will of death, people. All right.
The
So what's the wildest thing you've ever done?
Oh my goodness. The wildest thing I've ever done. Wow. I don't know. Moving to Vancouver was pretty crazy. What else? Well, I don't know. What kind of wild thing do you want?
Whatever comes to your mind.
I once had to poop in the woods while I was on a walk and pooped in the woods without toilet paper, and it ended up being a pretty wild experience. I took a play that I wrote. I toured a play that I wrote across Canada this last summer. That was pretty crazy and wild and exciting. I feel like I've done a lot of wild and exciting things, so it's hard to compartmentalize and know what the wildest one was. Oh, when I was in grade 10, and I'm not super duper religious, but I went to a Catholic high school and I joined a Christian pop group. And was in a Christian pop group for like 6 months, and we performed at a bunch of big venues and stuff. That was pretty wild. Yeah, I'd say one of those.
You mentioned about it being a playwright, so you write plays too. So that's another thing I wanted to ask. Curious is how do you write a play? I mean, do you do like stage directions? How does that work?
You would put stage directions into the play. Like I've been involved in theater since I was like 8, so going on almost 3 decades now. And so I've had a lot of experience reading plays and doing plays, and I feel like that's helped me in terms of like being able to structure a play myself. With the play that I toured, it took me like 2 years to write it. It started off with a bunch of essays. And then I'd say I had about 5 different drafts of the play before we got to the last draft. But actually, it was my sketch comedy writing that really helped me come up with that last draft.
That's cool. That's really cool.
Yeah.
My daughter's in theater. She joined because she wants to learn how, because she wants to be a wrestler. So she's got to learn the theatrical part of
Oh
it, the
yeah, you
acting.
yeah.
What was the first song you learned to play?
Well, when I first got my piano tuned about 3 years ago, the song that's spearheaded my songwriting was "Angel" by Sarah McLachlan. I had the piano, the sheet music on my piano. I had it on my piano for years and years and years, and I was not touching my piano. But yeah, that was the song that I started playing that I was like, this is actually easier than I think it is. Maybe I should just play my own songs and write my own songs. So, yeah.
See, do you do covers when you're out, or do you just stick to your originals?
I stick to my original songs, but I've had somebody recently tell me that I should do more covers.
Yeah, see, I'm a big fan of originals. I don't like doing covers just because I can never do them justice. But I do have, I do, I understand when you do covers, if you do it your own way, I like those. So I give my guest a cover challenge. Don't have to do it if you don't want to. It's and there's no time limit on it. And normally what you do is you when you send it to me or you put it on TikTok, then we'll just tag the artist and maybe they'll see it. And it's another way to get noticed. So and I tell people, give them to me. I don't mind. So I've had 3 people give me a challenge out of everybody that I've asked, and only one of them I could do. Because one person picked ABBA, Winner Takes All. I'm like, what? Winner, oh my God. I was like, you guys don't know what I sound like. Okay. So
Or they just really want to hear you singing ABBA.
no, they don't. So, but I tried it. And then when I got it finished, the guy from American Idol did it. I'm like, I'm not sending this out now. Oh. And so the second one, it was Whitney Houston. I Have Nothing. And I'm like, Whitney, you.
Oh, that's a good
I'm like, Jesus, people, give me something a little bit easier than that. So I
one.
tried, but I am so horrible with time. If I don't have a drum beat with me, like a drummer, I can fix it. But if it's just me writing, I can't do three, four. And that song was in 3/4. And that literally, anybody knows me, I'm so horrible with 3/4 time. It gets me every time. So I couldn't do that one. I tried. I couldn't find the melody. And then the last one, and I did post it on TikTok, was Purple Rain by Prince. And so
Oh,
I
nice.
did that cover. And most people liked it. Of course, one guy's like, oh, no. And like, I started laughing. I'm like, dude, I'm not Prince. I know that. That's not the point. So I have one for you if you want to do it. Goodbye, Yellow Brick Road. Mr. Elton John.
I'm gonna write that down.
I'm
Well, I
writing it
won't be
down.
able to do the piano justice, but
Well, you just do it however it comes to you. Like it doesn't have to sound like the original. And the less it does, the better for me. Because I, like I said, I like original songs. So, but I get that playing covers is part of the gig, especially if you're playing out as a songwriter. I mean, you got so much anyway going on, but as a songwriter, when they go to these gigs, they're playing 3-hour songs and they want like covers. And I'm like, you get me, you don't get covers. I'll give you a few just because I know you they want them. But that's kind of where I'd rather do original. But if I'm going to do a cover, I'm going to change it. It's going to sound like fine. And like I said, if you want to listen to my version of Purple Rain, it's on TikTok under the Georgia Songbirds. So yeah, that is yours. All right.
Yay, thank you.
Couple more of the Wheel of Death, and then we'll talk a little bit off air. If you had a time machine, where would you go?
Oh my gosh. I go back to the 70s. I just feel like the 70s would have been a fun time to be alive. And I go to a disco party in the 70s.
The
A
70s.
roller disco.
That now make me think of Austin Powers when he went with the gold member
Yeah.
and he's in the disco. That's what I imagine every 70s roller skating thing was.
Yeah. I love 70s fashion, so I'd be into it. And 70s music is good too.
We know the fashion is the most part. You're a woman. You mentioned earlier you want to go out with your new outfit, so that's
Yeah, I like fashion.
what's your favorite dessert?
Key lime pie.
Okay.
I was just talking to somebody about this the other day. Yeah, key lime pie. Although I love donuts too. I'm a real sweets person, so yeah, key lime pie though. It's definitely my favorite.
It's funny every time I ask this question, and it's people's just like, oh no, it's this, it's this. They get so like lit up on the question. Oh, my favorite dessert. Yes, I like this one. I mean,
Yeah. Well, dessert's the most one of the more enjoyable parts of life, right?
absolutely. Absolutely. I remember when it was a couple years ago, I was never big on sweets. I just never ate it a lot of sweets. I ended up drinking a lot of Dr. Peppers and stuff, but I never really ate a lot of sweet foods. And I remember my wife's mom made cheesecake. And I'd hated cheesecake growing up. I never ate it, didn't like it, didn't care for it because I didn't like the crust. But it was really good. It's like, okay. And then I went through this where I lost all this weight. I got exercise. I got healthier. And then I took my oldest son Wyatt, to Utah for a college trip because he was doing college tour. And we stopped at this place in Utah that had the best cheesecake. They had took hot cherries and poured over the top of it. And all the weight I lost came back. Felt like it felt like it came back in that moment because I was like, oh no. Because I started eating cheesecake. I mean, I was good. I was eating only like vegetables and fried, not fried, but grilled chicken. I was eating healthy. And then I just like, okay, I'm on vacation. It
Yeah.
took it away.
Well, went on vacation.
Right. I need to go
Yeah.
to a place where I just work out.
That's not a vacation, though.
Oh, that's funny that it said this. The question that came up, I don't know if you see it, is dream vacation.
Oh, nice. It hurt our conversation.
That is another Big Brother question that where is out there. They hear you. What is your dream vacation besides working out, right? No working out.
Yeah, no kidding. The phone overlords. My dream vacation would be, well, I really want to go to Japan,
Okay.
actually.
Japan, anything in particular you want to see in Japan or just Japan in general?
I've heard that like traveling by train in Japan's really cool and really easy, and I feel like it would be fun to just like go on a train and just, if you see a place that looks interesting, get off and explore. Just see where the train takes me.
Yes. I would love to go on. I don't know if you've seen these paddle boat cruises, like they have like at the Mississippi, the river, they call them river
Oh,
boats.
cool.
I call them paddle boats, but river boats. So
Yeah.
I would love to go like the Mississippi and gamble just
Yeah.
that's my thing. I love that.
Nice. Is the Mississippi is a really big river, right?
Yeah, it's really big. I don't know how far it goes. It's like through Missouri and Mississippi and it goes up. It's one of the big ones.
Yeah.
I don't think I don't
Wow.
want to do like the Amazon because I've seen Anaconda and I don't want that shit coming on me. I am not a snake person. Right, I got one more Wheel of Death questions before officially end the interview. And you kind of already touched on it. This is a question that I always ask, but what's the best advice you've ever received?
I think the best advice I've ever received that I've taken to heart and that's become part of who I am as a person is when I was growing up, my dad always used to say, "You don't ask, you don't get." And that's so true. If you don't ask for things, you won't get them. And so I feel like in life you have to make your own opportunities. And that's been super duper helpful in my life and in my career for sure.
And that's a good way to end it for people is it's it you're in a if you're in a field where you're putting yourself in front of people You got to take the good with the bad. You just, not everybody's going to like you. And maybe they like you, but they're mad that they like you and they want to say negative things because they're jealous. I mean, seriously,
Yeah,
people,
that's fair.
I could do that. I could do that better. Well, get off your
Yeah.
ass and do it.
Yeah, true.
That's all you
So
got
true.
to do. But again, thank you, Ellie, for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. It was
Yeah,
a pleasure talking to you.
we'll talk a little bit off air too, but everybody, this is the Georgia Songbirds, and that's Miss Ellie Heath. Thank you, Ellie.
Thank you.